Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, you. Yes, you. Sue Perkins here. And as the Minute Waltz fades away, what a pleasure it is to welcome you back to Just a Minute. Time now to introduce you to the four extremely talented and delightful people playing Just a Minute this week. They are Julian Clary, Laura Smith, Desiree Birch and Paul Merton. Please whoop and cheer for all of them. I bring no surprises because I'm going to be asking all of them to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. So we'll see how it goes. And Julian, we're going to start with you. Right, the subject is why it is important to coordinate. Perfect for this. Why it is important to coordinate. 60 seconds, please, starting now.
When I was in the Olympics, I was taking part in the synchronized swimming and I learned the hard way the importance of... Well, I can't read my own writing. Coordinating. You rushed me. No, look, you can confirm. That's not...
Yeah. I mean, if I could give points for relatability, I would. Really would. Paul, your challenge.
Well, the importance of clear handwriting.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he had to hesitate because he couldn't remember what the title was.
No, it's a long one, to be fair.
It is.
Why it is important to coordinate.
To coordinate. You see, I've still written... I've written coordinating.
Why
it... Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah. Coordinate.
It's the hidden admin that really is the bedrock of the show. Right, Paul. Correct challenge, why it is important to coordinate. You've got 47 seconds remaining, and that starts now.
When you find yourself entering a programme like Strictly Come Dancing, you must realise it's very important to coordinate with your professional dancer. I know that Julian was once in the show, and he did a very good job indeed. And I was once asked to be in it, but unfortunately, because I have a bad hip, I wouldn't be any good, and equally, I'm a very bad dancer. So the fact that I've got...
Ah, yes, Julian.
Repetition of dancer.
Yep, double dancer there. 27 seconds on why it is important to coordinate. Starting now.
My partner in the pool was Jane McDonald, and I got it terribly wrong once. I opened my legs when I should have closed them. There went the gold medal, and I limped home with a bronze. She was furious, and it underlines for us all, I feel, this evening, why it's important to coordinate, but she didn't realise I had a terrible hip. Oh, it's plague.
Paul, he's stealing my medical history.
That is fair.
Yeah, that should be safeguarded.
Yes.
It really should.
Yes. One's injuries are one's own.
Yeah, exactly that. I enjoyed that, but it's an incorrect challenge.
No.
You get to guess. Yeah. 5 seconds remaining, Julian, and that starts now.
Bonnie Langford and I romped home. We were in union. We were like...
Julian speaking as the whistle went, which was... What a narrative arc that was. It began with you not knowing what the subject was and ended triumphantly.
With Bonnie Langford.
With Bonnie Langford.
I know, that's what the listeners want to hear.
It is. Now, next topic is yours, Laura, and it's put a name to a face. What can you tell us about that subject, which is put a name to a face in 60 seconds, starting now?
Put a name to a face is a skill that I acquired when I used to be a head of year in a secondary school, and I'd learn about 300 names a year very easily, and there's an order in which you learn these names, and that is number one, the naughty kids, number two, the brilliant students, number three...
Oh, four.
Three numbers.
Of course it was.
Yeah. Correct challenge, Paul. Yes, it was repetition. So you've got the subject with 42 seconds remaining, starting now.
I wonder when couples have babies, whether they've chosen a name beforehand and then see the actual child emerge and think, this doesn't look like a Gerald. Perhaps Susan might be a better name. Putting a name to a face is something that I've been very good at over the years. Sometimes I do recall faces rather than names, and I look at somebody and I think, now I know I've met you somewhere before. Was it in Her Majesty's Prison, Wandsworth? Or maybe I was queuing up for a Bob Dylan ticket at Earl's Court in 1978. Then it suddenly occurs to me, I think everybody should wear a name badge, just very clearly on their lapel, so when you see somebody coming towards you...
Laura.
Repetition of somebody.
That is accurate. Yeah, because I heard it first.
Shall we'll skip the 2 minute silence.
Well, somebody, it's a correct challenge. It is a correct challenge. Well done. Well listened out. And even better because you did it with 2 seconds remaining on the clock. Sniper, I like it. So, you know what you've got to do? You've got 2 seconds. Put a name to a face starting now.
Put a name to a face is a really clear... That felt good.
Right, speaking as the whistle went, you got that point, and we move now to Desiree. How to succeed in business without really trying. I'm into this. I'm all here for it. How to succeed in business without really trying. You got 60 seconds to tell us all about that, starting now.
How to succeed in business without really trying sounds like it should be the creation of some tycoon like Donald Trump's ghostwriter, along with tomes like How to Run Everything While Failing at Practically All the Other Stuff, and Bringing About Armageddon, a handbook. How to succeed in business while not really trying is a book by Shepherd Mead that was created...
Laura.
Repetition of book?
Yeah, it was a repetition of book, which means you get the subject, Laura, with 33 seconds remaining. To remind you, it's how to succeed in business without really trying, starting now.
How to succeed in business without really trying is something I hope can be achieved because I know nothing about business whatsoever, which is why I'm a comedian, because you really don't have to try. But I wish I did actually put a little bit more effort into preparing for today, because talking for a whole minute is much...
Is this wrong? This feels wrong. It's a several... What? Because. Repetition of because.
Oh. Oh, yeah, whatever.
I mean, it feels wrong, but also a little bit right, Laura.
Oh, well, they think it feels right.
We don't buzz on small words, but if it's a repetition of because, it's a perfectly legitimate challenge.
Okay, all right.
16 seconds starts now.
How to succeed at business without really trying ought to be a pamphlet that, when open, says, just have rich parents in 32-point Comic Sans font. It, however, was a hit musical that Daniel Radcliffe performed in.
Right, speaking as the whistle went, Desiree got the points. And we move on to... London to Brighton. Now, this is with you, Paul. What can you tell us about London to Brighton in 60 seconds, starting now?
The first London to Brighton car rally was in 1896 to celebrate the fact that the miles per hour that every vehicle was allowed to go at was risen...
Julian, you buzzed.
It's for the best. Hesitation.
There was a bit of hesitation there.
Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. 47 seconds, it's with you. London to Brighton, Julian, and your time starts now.
I once attempted to walk from London to Brighton, but not with my hip, I'm afraid. Oh, it was playing up shocking. So I had to get the train, and that was more trouble than it was worth. Often delayed, there were people on the line, signal failure, and it took a lot longer than you might imagine. So I bought myself a bicycle. Not great with the hip, but let's scoot over that.
That's right.
Hip.
A little repetition of hip.
Yeah, the hips come back to haunt you.
Hip.
Oh.
Hips don't lie. So, that's a correct challenge, and you've got 21 seconds to tell us about London to Brighton, starting now.
London to Brighton is a direction that I will often head for comedy. However, once I have reached Comedia, I go, where does anyone park in Brighton? And immediately go from Brighton to London, circling around, screaming jokes, hoping that the audience can hear me as they're drunk in the basement, screaming for more.
Desiree, well done. You were speaking as the whistle went. You get the point there. And that's the end of our first round. Let's have a little look at the scores. We have Paul in fourth place. In third, Laura. In second place, Desiree. And slightly out in front, we've got Julian in first position. Right, Julian, round two begins with you. And a spot of bother. So that's a subject on the card. Let us know what you know about that in 60 seconds, starting now.
Oh, I had a terrible spot of bother recently when I was walking my dog in the park and she did the business and I couldn't find a bag with which to pick it up with, so I was in a...
Laura.
Repetition of with?
Oh, you're allowed to repeat harsh. With.
Oh, yeah, that's a little, that's a wee word.
Oh, it was with, that's what.
Listen, I'm going to give you a point because it's technically a correct challenge, but we don't sweat the small stuff. Julian, you keep the subject and your 44 seconds starts now.
The Sergeant Major Frog marched me into his office. All I was in, a spot of bother. He had found some foundation on my lapel. "What's going on, Cleary?" he said.
Paul, why has he got no teeth? Surely that disqualifies you from being in the army, having no teeth.
He lost them in the park.
It's a yes. Busy...
Can we have the translation? I didn't... All I heard was...
That's how they speak in the army. It's awful. They all speak like that.
I enjoyed that very much, Paul, but Julian gets to keep the subject.
Yes.
Possibly we'll get some consonants out of the Sergeant Major, if we're lucky, in the next 29 seconds, starting now.
Do press-ups!
I'll just stop.
There's no way of knowing whether he's repeating himself or not. And surely there's an age limit to how old people are in the army. This character is clearly in their 90s.
As far as I'm concerned, Paul has raised some issues which are worthy of point there, but I'm sort of enjoying whatever madness it is that you're sporting currently. So I'm going to give it back to you and let's listen out for the repetitions as the toothless whistle commences. 26 seconds, time starts now.
He was Welsh. Well, I learnt my lesson.
Just making it worse. Insulted at the whole population of Wales. That wasn't a Welsh accent.
Well, he'd moved around a bit.
Yeah.
He picked up a number of different accents. I don't see any objection within the rules. I'll have another point. Thank you.
There aren't any, according to the rules of Just a Minute. We move on. 23 seconds starts now.
After that, we became very good friends, and he sends me cards, and sometimes on New Year's Eve, I get a voice message saying,
Oh, it's been a while, hasn't it?
And, do you know, I fill up when I hear those dulcet tones and his name.
Four.
Well, there was an
Yeah, there was a little bit of hesitation. But it's good. I mean, I feel that we've resolved that part of the story, which
yes,
is good.
Yes, we became friends.
Yeah. 4 seconds, Paul. So, to remind you, because we have moved quite significantly. And the fact that nobody buzzed at any point for deviation was...
Anyway, no, it's all true.
Yeah. A spot of bother, Paul. 4 seconds starting now.
Every week I phone Julian up. I go, hey, you don't know where you
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, he gets the points. The next subject is for you, Laura, and it's hand-me-downs. Hand-me-downs. What can you tell us about hand-me-downs in 60 seconds, starting now?
As the youngest of a large family, I know all about hand-me-downs, and my love of hand-me-downs has stayed with me my whole life because I adore vintage clothes, and I no longer have to have hand-me-downs thrust upon me. I go looking for them at car boot sales, at charity shops, at vintage fairs...
Desiree, you buzzed.
It was a repetition of vintage.
It was.
Yes, vintage clothes.
Darn it. And
yes, well, well listened. Right. 39 seconds remain on that subject, which, to remind you, is hand-me-downs, and your time starts now.
Hand-me-downs are a good way to get clothes that are full of your older siblings' farts and sweat when you are a middle or youngest child. Hand-me-downs are sometimes considered vintage wear, but that's only if they're good. If they were purchased by fast fashion, then these hand-me-downs will simply be threads by the time you are trying to cover your bits with them to get to do your shopping that day. Hand-me-downs are sometimes fabulous, though, like a leather jacket I was once stumbling upon inside of a store. My friend reached for it and...
Beautifully done. Speaking as the whistle went, you get the point and you also get the next subject, which is a fabulous flop. What can you tell us about a fabulous flop in 60 seconds, starting
Now.
As Samantha spider twerked up the ladder to the diving board, she was hoping in her leap, dabbing the entire way in cubic zirconia tiara and shoes, that she would make a fabulous flop. She landed arms akimbo and came up bleeding out of the face, because one should not hit surface at that speed. She said, "Did you get it?" And her brother said, "I didn't push record." And her attempt to create a new Olympic sport had been thwarted, but Sam wouldn't give up. So she raced back to the plank and did a pirouette, this time in a tutu, and jumped.
Julian.
Tutu. Sounds like repetition.
And it's just one word, T-U-T-U.
I understand now that I've made a terrible error.
It's okay. You were going great guns, and you will go great guns again, because you've got 16 seconds. It's all yours, and the time starts now.
She tripped as she wanted to stick her landing and thought, this could be the fabulous flop that gets this sport recognized.
Laura.
Repetition of sport?
It was the Olympic sport, and then the sport she wanted to get recognised. Good set of lugholes there. With 5 seconds remaining, it's all yours. A fabulous flop. Your time starts now.
A fabulous flop is the only way you'd want to hit some water, maybe on your belly or just straight on your face.
A classic, a lovely bit of poaching there. You were speaking as the whistle went. Laura, well done. You get that point. Now, for this next subject, we've decided to go old school. We've actually gone to the audience for Paul's subject. We asked you guys in the crowd here tonight, and courtesy of Rachel Conquest, who has the most imposing name of anyone I've ever heard. We looked at everyone's suggestions, which were all fabulous, but in many ways, yours was the most fabulous, which is why we've chosen it. So we're going to go with that. Paul, I gather this is something that they used to do back
in the old. Yeah, in the early days, yes. It was very much a thing that they will soon find out why they stopped doing it.
Always good, however classic the game, to refresh the well.
Absolutely.
So out of nowhere, Rachel's given us this topic. I liked it, and it's now yours, Paul. Yep. You're going to speak for 60 seconds, if you will, without hesitating, repeating or deviating, on the life of a strawberry. The life of a strawberry. Paul, it's all yours. Your time starts now.
The life of a strawberry. We barely need more than a minute to talk about the life of a strawberry. Unusually, the strawberry is called such because it's grown in straw and it's a berry. But then I sort of thought to myself, the life of a strawberry. Who knows what goes underneath that peeled skin? Perhaps there's dreams of conquest. Rachel, there you are. And I remember saying to my mother once, what is it about the life of a strawberry? How does it live, breathe? Does it have ambitions? Would it like to join the army and have a toothless major talk to it? An accent which nobody has ever heard of, particularly if you're a strawberry. And she said, you know what? The raspberries are jealous of the strawberry because the strawberry has such a golden, lovely aura about itself. When you see a strawberry lying in a plate, you say to yourself, I want to get hold of some double cream and pour it over this strawberry. Let it luxuriate in the creamy whiteness as it flies around your palate, and you think to yourself, the taste, the flavour, the inner life.
I love
that.
Congratulations.
That was a very good suggestion. Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed that. That was just a delight to behold. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Paul. Of course, you were speaking as the whistle went. You also spoke for the full 60 seconds, which gains you a bonus point. I'm dead chuffed. Are you chuffed, Rachel? Rachel, where are you going? Why are you shaking your head? Why are you so angry? Rachel, come back. Right, Paul's triumphant minute has slightly readjusted things on the all-important score sheet. In third place, we've got Julian. In joint second, we've got Desiree and Laura. And slightly nudging ahead now, Mr. Paul Merton. Woo! Is it supposed to look like that? It's a question I ask myself a lot, but now Julian is tasked with answering it in 60 seconds. So is it supposed to look like that? Here we go. Oh, I can feel the gentle tickle of Ofcom. 60 seconds starts now.
I kept myself nice throughout my youth as a good Catholic. So on my wedding night, as my husband threw back the sheets, point of interest, I married a northerner. Showed me what was to come. I said, is it supposed to look like that, my darling? He said, ooh, yes, you will. This is going to be a night to remember. And it's uncanny. You've met him, and his voice is exactly that way. It was indeed supposed to look like that, and has confirmed my chosen path as a camp comic and renowned homosexual. It was some weeks later when we went to a cake shop and looked at the pastries in the window, and there was a very curious thing there. We were in Newcastle, and I said to my husband...
Oh. Bigamy. Yes, it was bigamy. Two husbands. Right.
Yes, there were a pair of husbands there. We don't judge, but under the rules of just a minute, we must, unfortunately, give points. 5 seconds remaining.
Oh. I share your disappointment.
The subject is yours, which is, of course, is it supposed to look like that? And it starts now.
As I entered the finals of the Mr. Universe competition in 1987, the chief judge said to me, is it...
Well, I'm Paul speaking as the whistle went, and we are with you now, Laura, for Mixed Feelings. Mm. Tell us about Mixed Feelings in 60 seconds, if you will, and that time starts now.
Mixed feelings for me, I think all feelings are pretty mixed because no matter what I'm experiencing, whether it be anger or fear or confusion, it's always mixed with hunger. I usually have to just reach for some biscuits. You know when you hear about those people that say, oh, I've just been so stressed and I've been so busy, I've forgotten to eat. And I'm just thinking, I've never met an emotion or a feeling...
Desiree.
I've been so, it's a repetition of the whole phrase.
When it's a little word, but when it comes up so often, I think it's a correct image.
Okay.
It's a difficult, it's nuanced. Don't hate me forever, Laura. For tonight, sure, we'll have our differences.
Fine, I'm disappointed and I kind of want a sandwich. That's...
Correct challenge, Desiree. 36 seconds remaining. And remembering that your subject is mixed feelings. I say remembering, I was reminding myself at that moment. You probably know already. Time starts now.
Mixed feelings was the name given to a drink that my friend Dave mixed at university. He was attempting to make a Long Island iced tea and thought, I could just pour the other liquors in as well. No, you can't, David. He made an abomination.
Laura.
Is it repetition of David?
Double David.
I thought I said Dave first.
I think you did.
Did I say Dave first and then David? Yeah, Dave, see, not David. My first rodeo.
Wow, you just sucker punched me. There was I just nodding to Laura like, yeah, you smashed that.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Desiree, you fiendish? All right, that's all yours. That's an incorrect challenge. Yes. You keep the subject. 18 seconds, starting now.
He made an abomination that everyone in the room tried but me because I'd had a week of bartending school and understood that was an incorrect mixture. So, people...
Paul.
There was a bit of a pause there.
There was a bit of a pause.
I hiccuped.
You hiccuped?
Yeah, I was remembering the smell of the drink and it just sort of sent me into a tizzy.
All right, Paul, successful challenge. 8 seconds you have on the clock to tell us about mixed feelings starting now.
When you have mixed feelings, it's because your feelings have been mixed. I remember the very first time I met Julian Clary's husband, and I said to him, how are you? And he simply said in words...
Paul was speaking, Paul gets the point, and that's how it works. And with that, we move into the final round. Paul, round things off for us, if you please.
Yes.
Your subject is a story told in reverse. You've got 60 seconds, you know how this goes, and your time starts now.
The end.
Julian.
Well, hesitation.
Yes.
It is the end. It can only be a hesitation if you start talking again. I tell you. There's a pedantic point to take home. To talk back.
I'm going to give you a point, Paul, because I actually really enjoyed the fact that you did tell the story in reverse, but you just didn't carry on telling it, which means I'm going to give the subject to Julian.
Absolutely.
56 seconds remaining. And your time starts now.
A story told in reverse is probably the sort of thing you can see in a French film. Mais oui, c'est la story en reverse. It's uncanny, isn't it? Anyway, I watched a movie like that and it begins
I think we should take a moment to be thankful that the French person in question had teeth. Paul, you challenged.
Well, it was a hesitation.
Yeah, it was a bit of a hesitation. So you get it back, story told in reverse, starting now.
A story told in reverse. I'm so pleased to get this subject back because I thought I'd get a bigger laugh on what I said earlier, but I won't repeat it, so I won't. So now, eventually, what you've got to think of, a story told in reverse. If we look at the story of creation, we think to ourselves, OK, up to the point where we are now, where we've been listening to Julian's very entertaining French accent and go all the way back to Adam and Eve. In between, of course, are our thousands of years of history, and it's going to take some time to traverse those decades, but let's give it a go. Back in the 1960s, England won the World Cup, and what a glorious year that was. But then, in 1953, Queen Elizabeth, what happened then?
Julian.
Repetition of 19.
Oh, what
yes.
Nonsense. What nonsense.
And coming back to where we began. Yeah. 2 seconds remaining on the clock.
2 seconds.
Yeah. Correct challenge from Julian. You get to tell a story told in reverse in 2 seconds, starting now.
A quaint heterosexual couple swim in a lake.
Right, that's the end of the round and indeed the end of the show. Let's have a look at those all-important scores. We've got Julian bringing up the rear. In third place, we've got Laura. In second, we've got Desiree. And out sailing in front, Mr. Paul Merton! And there, my gorgeous ones, I'm afraid we've got to leave you. But first of all, thanks to the incredible players of tonight's game, Julian Clary, Laura Smith, Desiree Birch and Paul Merton. Of course, we are indebted to Ian Messiter and our wonderful Nicholas Parsons. We also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so delicately, so ear-perforating me in my left lughole. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks ever so much for listening, wherever you are, and please do join us again next time we all play Just a Minute.